The reason we only stock D'Addario strings is because D'Addario strings are perfect.
When people come in here, they think that we get them for free or something like that, but we don't. We have no other reason except for dependability and tone.
I'm not a betting man, but I bet if you go like and subscribe the Premier Guitar YouTube channel, we'll keep our jobs and you'll keep getting free content.
You just got better looking. Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar. We are outside beautiful Nashville, Tennessee on a warm sunny day at the Ascend Amphitheater in downtown with John Jeffers of Whiskey Myers. John, how you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Real good. I love that you have a rock and roll setup that has some quirks to it.
Yeah.
And let's just dive right into it. I know we're going to talk to Cody here in a minute, but let's start with you and talk about this special instrument you've had for a long time.
Yeah, man, this is my OG go-to. So this is a 90s Les Paul standard, but actually Cody Tate's uncle, he actually gifted me this before he passed away. And it was kind of my first guitar that was ever, you know, worth anything.
Yeah.
The other ones I had were, you know, small, you know, cheap guitars.
But was his uncle a player, a collector, or how did
both.
You also get chosen and not Cody?
I know, and he's still butthurt about it too. Yeah, he still claims this is his, but he's full of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So his uncle was like, he can tell you more about it, but he was like one of the largest Taylor collectors in
really?
The world. Yeah. So whenever we went up there, he lived in Oklahoma around Norman somewhere, I believe. But like I went up there as a kid and I was like, oh, there's gonna be all these stuff all over the walls and everything. And it's like, no, it's just all in these closets, you know, typical like a collector.
Yeah.
So it was super cool. And then one day he finally came out and just asked me if I wanted to play this on stage and kind of gave it to me. So
man,
it's super close to me.
That's cool that you, you know, still own it, obviously, because I think Cody would have something to say about that. But
yeah.
you're using it on stage.
Yeah, since day one.
Kind of honoring him still.
Absolutely, dude.
Yeah.
Since day one. It's got a Jeff Beck in the front and a DiMarzio Super Distortion in the back. And these are from, you know, whenever they came out, somewhere in the 90s, I think.
Okay.
I'm not really sure.
So you didn't put those in?
No, they're the same. Nothing's changed. Yeah.
Cool. Now, what strings do you put on these?
These are actually 10 and a halves.
Oh, okay.
I've always played 11s, and then I bounced down half a step to 10 and a half. So.
What have you enjoyed about that? That slight move?
It's a little easier on the fingers.
Okay.
But I'm a pretty aggressive player, so I can bend it out of tune pretty easy.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the challenge for me. Even just half a step, you wouldn't think that you could bend out too much, but.
Yeah, and so rather than going to 10s, 10s would be too much?
Yeah. 10s are for weak guys like Cody Tate.
Yeah. I didn't say that. Now, can we hear a little bit more of this guitar? Because I'm sure you use it quite a bit throughout
man.
The night.
Yeah. It's a, and pretty much whenever I'm running here, I'm pretty much just going, you know, amps to guitar.
Okay.
I'm skipping everything. I've got a little bit of reverb on there and a little bit of a slap back, but.
It sounds good. I don't know which. It's probably all parts of the pie, but like it's the amps or it's the guitar or the pickups. It sounds great, man.
Thanks, dude. I appreciate it. I love this guy.
Yeah. Now, when do you decide to use it? Is it kind of set songs or just kind of how you're feeling each night?
No, it's not really. Well, I've kind of started setting it, but I've got quite a few guitars that I just switch in and out on the wing. You know, Anar, he's just kind of brings me whatever we decide for the night.
Okay.
But yeah, if there's not one set in stone, this is the go-to.
Okay.
But I play a lot of open tuning and slide stuff too, so those are set in stone, the open G's and the model modal G's. And
okay.
We do one in an open D, half a step down, which is open C sharp. Yeah, so it has to live in its own.
Yeah, because otherwise you'd be messed up.
Uh-huh, for sure.
What should we know about tuning's beyond what you said for the opening. Are you typically an E standard then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Standard. And most of my slide work I play in standard too. I don't play a whole lot in open tuning like typical slide players, and that's probably why they're a lot better than I am at it, but I'm just faking my way through it.
Yeah,
but typically I'm always in standard.
Okay. Well, what should be the next guitar we talk about?
Cool, man. This is the It's a reissue, a 1960 reissue, and it was hand painted by Tom Murphy.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's a pretty cool one, and I'd never had this kind of color. So I don't know. I dug it.
What do you dig about how it sounds? Spending some time with it now.
It reminds me of my black guitar. And okay. So that's usually every time something starts sounding like my OG guy, I always gravitate towards it. Yeah. I like stuff a lot dirtier, and I'm a pretty sloppy player. So I mean, if it gets nasty and gritty,
it's greasy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have names for your guitars? I saw it kind of peaked in the guitar boat. Do you have names?
Yeah. This is Los Tigres.
Now, how do you name them? Like, is it, I'm curious about that process. They just kind of fall into favor?
Yeah. I mean, you kind of just look at them and, if they get sassy and start talking back, they develop a name. So.
What was the first one's name?
The black one?
Yeah.
OG.
Okay. So, okay. OG. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, let's keep cruising through guitars.
Yeah, dude. Let's do it. 72, 54, 58. Shit, dude. I don't know. This is like a weird guitar. Yeah, I got this one from Carter not too long ago, actually. I went in there and talked to the guys. I was like, hey, what's the class favorite going on in here? What's everybody's favorite weird guitar? I like unique stuff.
That's a tricky thing to ask a guitar salesman.
I know.
Because, it's like a car salesman. I know. You want to get the best profit or.
I know, right? Like, I don't want your most expensive guitar. I'm not here for that. I want your unique, crazy story. What is it?
Yeah, okay.
And so this was a 72, 54, 58 reissue.
Okay.
And usually, the story I got, usually they're gold tops. So what's his name from, all of those 54s are always gold tops. So you don't really see the Sunburst edition. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, what do you dig about this? Is it still kind of referencing that OG sound?
It does, man. But this one's got I don't know.
So what tuning are we living there?
That's just a drop D, standard in drop D, yeah.
Yeah. So I want to reference the career because I should have done it at the start, but we're in a amphitheater area that I think seats over 7,000 people. You guys have played the Ryman a few times. Mm-hmm. What's it like, on this trajectory that you guys have been on? And I think one of my favorite things about the start of your career is you guys started out in the Chevy Suburban.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the Suburban tours now.
Absolutely.
And then here you are.
Yeah, Cody's mom gave us that Suburban.
How many dudes did you fit in that?
Seven.
Yeah. And gear?
Yeah, and trailer. We put like 200,000 miles on that thing. Yeah, and trailer.
Wow.
Yeah. One time it was freezing, man, and the windows fell down. They wouldn't roll back up. It was snowing. Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, dude, it's been wild. We've always just kind of, we've always had this, I hate to say chip on our shoulder, but we always kind of had that.
Yeah.
And we still vaguely do, it's just like we've always tried to stay in our own lane and do our own thing no matter what, and we've kind of just done that. And fortunately, it took a while, but I think people started gravitating towards it, and it's, I think the blue collar, the stuff that Cody writes about and the stuff that I write about, I think it's just
relatable.
It's relatable, man.
And there's and authenticity. I know that word gets thrown around a lot.
It does.
I think it's true to what you guys do and where you guys have come from. It's
right.
There's not a lot of what you guys created and started from in terms of your path out there anymore, because it's like everything's either a shortcut or you don't get enough runway to be a band, to learn the curves, to do all that stuff that you guys grinded for, all those years.
We were just dumb enough to keep going. We didn't have anything else to do, man. We weren't good at college or anything, but it's just...
Weren't some of you guys homeless or like bouncing around on couches during that time?
Yeah, I was on couches forever. I was living with several bass players and it was tough there for a little bit, but we were young, man, so we just really didn't know any different. It was just like, this is what we do. You live on a couch whenever you need to live on a couch. That's just what it was, didn't think twice about it. So the way that people have gravitated towards our music is like, you can tell a lot of people have, we get this stuff and people ask is like, oh, your objective whenever you go into the studio, or like, what was your objective whenever you wrote this song, or how you did this, what were you trying to achieve? And it's like, our whole thing is like, we're not trying to achieve anything. Like, whether it's me or Cody writing it, he does the majority, but it's like, there is no objective. There's no way I want to sound country, I want to sound rock and roll,
yeah.
I want to rap, I want to do blues or whatever it is. There's nothing. Whenever we go in there and build something, that's how it comes out. And I think people see that, you know, not to overuse the authenticity stuff because it's thrown around too much, like you said, but it's like, I think people understand it's like, we're not lying.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. You know? Well, going to the trajectory of the band, I know that you guys did a couple records with Dave Cobb, and then out of that, you guys did solo and produced yourselves as a band, a cohesive unit, and the one that's coming out in September was done here, right?
Yeah.
With Jay Joyce.
With Jay Joyce, yeah.
How was that, you know, working with a producer again? How was that? And then what did he bring specifically to the table that was kind of unique and instrumental to what shaped this seventh record?
Absolutely. Yeah, Jay's awesome, dude. We knew that, you know, after we got done with Dave, we loved Dave and everything we did, we were like, hey, let's see if we can take everything we learned and try to produce ourselves.
Yeah.
And if it sucks, you know, we'll go get somebody to help us out. That's easier to ask for help, you know, but let's see if we can do it. And we started locking it, and then we did another one, Tornillo, and we were satisfied with it, but then we were like, okay, that's ran its course. There's no reason to go make another record that's going to sound exactly, you know, like the last two records, because you can get complacent, you know, producing or doing anything. So you can get in a rut, everything, just like playing guitar. So we were like, hey, we need somebody to give a different take on the songs that we already have.
Yeah.
And Jay came up, and then before you know it, the whole Jay story was built in a matter of weeks. And he was like, hell yeah, I'll do it. And we were more than happy, dude. Yeah, Jay's awesome, dude. The way he works is it's a pretty good inspiration.
Yeah. For sure. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. For one, in your monitors, in your cans, he don't like to turn any of that up. So that could be frustrating. But he's got a master plan behind that. You know, you're like, hey, Jay, turn it up. I can't hear anything.
Yeah.
And it's like, meep. Turn it up, Jay. And he's like, meep, meep. It's like, did you turn it down or did you turn it up? Yeah, but his plan, you know, I wish he was here to elaborate. But, like, the way he does that and makes you play as a band. And before you know it, you realize, you know, why he's doing some of the things he does.
Yeah.
And then you play it back and it's like you're playing cohesively as a band, you know, and then it just works.
I know you're a sports guy and I've heard you reference that too. Mm-hmm. So it's like a team. It, I've never been in a band where it has a producer like a Jay Joyce or a Dave Cobb, but it almost seems like it's a coach, to pin it closely or parallel it to like a Phil Jackson. You got all these personalities, got these egos, but you got to have this one person that sometimes can step in and really be the chef.
Absolutely. To speak up and everybody listen.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, you always need a coach that's going to, you know, calm you down and squash those egos if they are there. You know, luckily, we're not a band full of egos. We always work together as a unit. We don't argue. You know, we run down every idea that there is. So we've always been pretty good at that. And I think that was part of success at trying to produce ourselves. There was no arguments, no fighting. We used to do that when we were young, so we don't mess with that anymore. But to have the guy like Jay, you know, really step in and say, you know, the direction is really good for a leader like that to come in.
And he's a player too, so like he can come from not only just a production standpoint, but he's a guitar player too.
Absolutely, dude. He played a lot of keys and he played quite a few different things on there. He's great, man.
Oh, right on. We were talking off camera before about dogs. I lived in that neighborhood that he records out of, when I used to rent, and used to walk my dog past his place all the time.
Heck yeah, dude.
Yeah,
it's a cool studio.
Yeah. Well, church. Let's grab another guitar. Let's meet a new friend.
Yeah. This is a 92 reissue of a 67. So they only made, I think they made 100 of these.
Okay.
There's only 100 of these guys. Pretty cool guitar. I just got it for slide work and other stuff, but I don't play it too much, but it's neat.
When it comes to slide, what are you using for the material?
Oh, I use it's this company called Silica Sound.
Okay.
So they hand blow and hand make these slides. Glass is what I'm using. But he blows a taper in here, so.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, you can kind of check it out. It's kind of beat up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it kind of, and I like them half. I don't like it all the way down on my finger.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so he, it's pretty cool, man. Silica Sound, they're out of California. I think he's actually a geologist.
Oh, really?
He blows a lot of glass.
Look at that, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure he blows other things, too.
Yeah.
In terms of glass.
Still out of tune a little bit, but.
Man, that's a What's your relationship with the three humbuckers? Like, where do you normally sit? Is it bridge? Always. Do you ever go middle?
Bridge. Three? I'm always on the bridge. I used to always be on the neck.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I did that forever, especially with the black guitar. I was always on the neck because I just liked it better. But as soon as I started not being so stupid, probably need to play as a band and get it on the bridge. But yeah. I usually live on the bridge a whole lot. Yeah, and I roll back a lot, so.
Well, right on, should we meet another buddy over here?
Yeah, man.
What do we got? What's this Red Devil's name?
Yeah, the Red Devil, that's a good nickname. I've been calling it Red Shang.
Okay.
We went to high school with this guy that used to, he used to army crawl, and he had red hair, and we always called him.
The shit you come up with in high school with your buddies.
He would get drunk and like you would see him out there army crawling on the ground. I don't know. So immediately whenever I bought this, I was like, oh, that's Red Shang right there. That's him. Yeah.
That's the best. So what do you bring this out for?
I only bring it out just to be fun on one song. Cody Tate sings an older, we just put it in the set. It's called Different Mold.
Okay.
And so I just bring it out for that, just as a flair, just to throw something cool in the mix. No reason at all, no particular.
Let's hear it.
Just a single mini.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
They have such a unique sound.
They do.
She purrs.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a good one.
I have to roll it back a lot on the tone knob quite a bit because it's pretty.
Kind of gets that Telly Ice Picky.
It kind of does,
with the treble,
Yeah.
All right, well, we got OG back. Tell me about your amp situation. Normally, I've associated you with Vox AC30s, which is still in the fold.
Yeah, absolutely.
But talk to me through what you got going on.
Yeah, so it kind of switches in and out day to day, and I recently threw the oranges into the mix with a 50 handwired. So I just threw that in there, and day to day, you can still see it's marked. So it goes day to day on what it is, and today
really?
I guess he decided to mark up the orange. But yeah. So it's day to day, man.
Yeah.
Tonight, by the time it sounds pretty good right now, so I might leave it for tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, last night was Fox.
Okay.
So.
Now, well, you did one over Zoom a couple years ago with Perry, and at that time you had the Vox AC30 situation where you had the rhythm tone on one stack, and then you had the lead tone that you would blend in or you'd bring into the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about how you kind of, I don't want to say fell into it, but that's how you created that sound.
Yeah.
You're chasing something, and why isn't that the case now?
It's not anymore because it's just a whole lot easier for me. Not for me personally, but for everybody else. You know, it's a lot easier for me.
You're
not
a team player.
I'm a team player. Yeah, so I was running these two volume pedals and both stacks of AC30s, and I was like, I really liked the clean tone on the handwired, and I really liked the hot tone. So I was like, why can't I, you know, my idea, my logic was like, I should be able to blend them. Why can't I blend them?
Yeah.
You know, live. And me be in control as opposed to somebody else and let me blend them the way I want to.
Yeah.
So I don't know the complications that came from it, but it didn't happen too long.
Yeah.
So I kind of got shut down there for a minute. There's a way to do it, but every time I tell that story, nobody really has heard of that.
The only time I've ever seen anything close to that would be like someone having amps they'd switch on. But
switch
not,
on
not
and off.
Yeah, but not blending.
But not blending together and controlling how much blend is with volume pedals.
Yeah.
So that's my idea. And it works, but you know, it can get a little tricky.
Yeah. The only close to that, but again, it's a sideways story, is that Jimmy Herring would have like six volume pedals for widespread, and he would use those as monitor mixes. So he would bring in whatever he wanted to hear on a particular song or night, and I need to hear more keys. So then rather than having someone dictate that from the board, he was doing it with volume pedals.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Man. That felt like an overcomplication of it, but again,
absolutely.
Hands on the steering wheel, and it's Jimmy Herring, so
absolutely.
It's like...
Absolutely.
you know.
That's I never even knew that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a way to do monitor remixes, but yeah, hands-on for sure.
Heck yeah, man.
So cool. What orange are you running in the rack?
I got a 50. It's a hand-wired custom.
Okay.
50. And the AC30 is a hand-wired 30.
Okay. Anything special about speakers we should know, or just kind of stock?
No, not crazy, man. We got on board with Ted Weber. So I got some Webers in the Vox. I got a Silver Bill and a Blue Dog.
Okay.
So I kind of gravitated towards them. Just, yeah.
And I think the tech said, your tech said Celestion 30s in the, uh-huh, in the orange.
30s, yeah, more of the cream.
Okay.
Yeah, the cream cool. flavor. Nothing well, crazy.
Let's dive into the pedal board, man.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. What do you got?
Yeah, I got the Lail or Lely, whoever, Lely,
yeah.
whoever German. Wants to say that. Yeah, I love the volume pedals, man. They're there's nothing tied to them, so I tend to break a lot of volumes and stuff,
yeah.
so I love them. The rest of this is pretty straightforward. I got a wah. I'm using the aluminum Falcon. I learned that from Charlie Starr.
Okay.
Thanks, Charlie.
Yeah.
Running a Union, a Moore pedal, which is basically just a boost. But it's got, you know, it's a tube transistor.
Can we hear kind of as you yeah. go through these? Like, what yeah. do you got with the Falcon here?
Yeah. Falcon is, I've got it set a little brighter because I blend them.
Okay.
So I'll blend a Falcon. Right now that's a little noisy. But. So it, I've got it set a little brighter to blend in whenever I'll stack the Falcon, the Octonaut, and the Moore, those three. Choose two in between songs to stack on to
okay.
get feedback and to get, you know, extra stuff. But the Falcon, the way I use it, it adds in a brighter tone.
All right.
Because the Moore pedal for me is super beefy. You know, that's just basically boosting what I already have.
What so. Is the Moore pedal? Is that the
that's
Union?
That's the Union.
Okay, uh-huh. yeah, yeah.
The Union tube transistor
gotcha.
Is basically just Moore.
Okay, yeah, yeah like a Moore. Boost, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, the Octonaut, I haven't had it extremely long, but I really do like it. I got it all set at pretty much noon on everything there.
Tone. And that would that be your like your solo tone?
Yeah,
okay.
I typically live. You know, in comparison. The more just tends a little beefy.
Yeah.
You know? And so whenever I slide on certain songs, if it's too bright or too dim, I just sweat. I'm constantly stacking different ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to build the perfect mm-hmm. cheeseburger.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man.
So I noticed your tech was telling us before you came out is that you added some modulation. You want to touch on that?
I did. I did, man. We brought in a the Depths Earthquaker vibe.
Okay.
So it's I don't use it very often, but we use it on I use it in the flanger on Time Bomb and Tailspin, two of the newest
songs. Yeah, the new songs, yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of replicating what Jay was doing with the keys and stuff. So,
all right.
Yeah. I don't think I actually played that on the record, but I'm trying to
Can we
emulate.
Hear that?
Yeah. Yeah, this is just the vibe. And here's the flanger. It's an old Boss. So it's pretty similar, but I stack those two.
Oh, we got to get a stack.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know. Yeah.
So, love that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get what Jay did tastefully in the studio, but
yeah.
it's not even close. But it fools everybody into thinking it is.
Yeah, so, right?
Yeah.
And I see three other ones there. We got two Scretties and
then
the
man.
Reverbs. Tell
yeah.
me about it.
I got a Hermita Reverb. It's I think they're based out of Austin.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of an older pedal. It's kind of hard to find, man. Some of the circuits that
I didn't
they
know
used.
They did a Reverb. I know that their kind of big thing is the Zen Drive.
Zen Drive
yeah.
is one, yeah. So the old school, the original Reverb, which that's, I used to have the original and it didn't make it. But yeah, so I run the two Scretties. I run one as a, it's kind of like a slapback. That's a lot, but. So I'll run it, and then I use the other one as a long for more of a super delays on like John Wayne. And other songs
okay.
that we're kind of just noodling around. So, yeah. Besides that, everything else is just kind of normal, man.
Killer, man.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you taking the time. I know we got to get Cody involved here before sound check, but I got to ask,
Absolutely.
What's the significance of the new album title? Because the first word, womp, yeah. I used that whenever I would play Euchre. I don't know if you know that. It's a Midwest card game. And you throw down the Euchre card while I'm drinking my Busch Lights, and I'd always say, womp.
Really?
So I'm curious what the hell that your significance of the album title is for the seventh record.
We were just joking around, and then Cody actually came up with it. Womp is like when it, for how we used it in East Texas, like whenever, you know, I'll womp you on the head. Or you get womped. You know, if you get womped. So we had all these serious names that was, you know, that we were trying too hard. And then once he came up with that, it's like, dude, that's great.
Yeah.
And whack, whenever you get whacked, you don't want to get whacked.
No.
Yeah.
I know exactly what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get it womped or whacked. And it just, you know, the way he put that together, I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, we got to do that.
Love
inside
jokes.
And it's something
jokes.
That, it reminds me of, you know, Dookie. Like
oh,
Green
yeah.
Day or something. It's something that's like, you don't forget that name.
No.
You know? And who knows how much sense it really makes or not. But
yeah.
It's kind of unforgettable.
Yeah, so. Dude. Well, I appreciate your time, John, and
absolutely,
congrats
dude.
And everything, dude.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, all right.
If you've played guitar for long enough, you're going to hear the name D'Addario. That's because they make some of the best strings on the planet, but they also make accessories.
Backline gear transport bags. We're not only just fans of the stuff, we actually use it. Perry, what do we got there?
This is the big dog. We got the Solo, which is a little bit smaller. They're both fully customizable. Normally, you would put your modeler in here, all your cables, pedals, anything that you need to play a show.
Strings.
We have ours loaded down with camera lenses, cameras, stills cameras, our wireless systems, everything that we need to bring you guys great rig rundowns.
And when we go to NAMM, also has a laptop slot. And what's the best part, Perry?
Oh, man. My favorite part?
Bottle opener.
They've thought of everything.
Yeah, dude. Back to rig rundown. All right, we are joined by Cody now. Cody, how you doing?
Good.
How was recording with Jay Joyce here in Nashville?
It was amazing. Like, the vibe was amazing. Like, it was in an empty or abandoned church.
Yep.
And, have you been there?
I was telling John I used to live in that same neighborhood.
Okay.
So I'd walk by it and knew what was going on in there.
I mean, it's amazing. Jay is, he's a different breed, man. He's all there. It's cool getting to know him because, like, he's done so much cool shit.
Yeah.
And like, just walk in, he's just a regular dude. He just wants to rock and roll.
Yeah Well, right on, man. Tell me about this guitar you're using right here,
man. This is a Guitar Center special. I've had 15-16 years now.
Okay.
I had a guitar that my uncle bought me for graduation back in 03, and it got stolen on the road.
I was gonna say, I don't know if John stole it, because that OG black one.
No,
different uncle.
No, that's the same uncle. He gave him that guitar.
Okay.
This was after the fact. But I guess custom colors, one off guitar. It was like they were supposed to give it to Fender made it to give to this guy that my uncle buys guitar from. He's a huge collector.
Okay.
And so they gave it to him, and we went and bought a bunch of guitars. And he did. So he was like, I got this one guitar, man. He's like, cause I played everything in there. He's like, I got this one guitar. And I went and played it, and I fell in love with it. He's like, well, I'm supposed to be giving this to an artist, but hell with it. You can have it, you know? So, and then that one got stolen. So I went and bought this one at Guitar Center, or the band bought it, actually. We were just, 3 years in, probably.
Yeah.
Maybe two. We're still in a band, I believe.
Yeah.
And I've been rocking with it ever since. It used to have a little phase knob right here.
All right.
Phase shift here, and we rewired it and got all that stuff out. So it just plays like a regular, you know, single humbucker.
Did you have that set up? Was that how you got it? Was the HH humbucker single? So that's how you got it.
Yeah, and it was the one that came with the that and all the and locking all this stuff. But we just rewired it. I believe these are the same pickups that came in it, right? Noiseless.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just pretty much stock except for we just wired that phase shifter.
What do you dig about it? That's kind of been a good buddy for the last 16 years.
It's a road dog, man. It plays really well, and it stays in tune phenomenally. I don't really play all that hard, so most of that's why I like Fender so much, because I get a lot of tone out of it. But it's just a piece of fucking really, really good piece of wood. You know, like I feel like I could hit somebody over the head and just keep playing.
I won't challenge you to do that. But with John being mainly on Gibsons and humbuckers, was it a strategy all along for you to kind of go in a different lane, or is it just kind of how it worked out?
No, I think that's just how it worked out, because I've been playing since I was five, and I've always gravitated towards Fender. Like I don't think I've ever owned a Les Paul. But I've had a SG, I've got a Firebird, dual top Firebird.
Okay.
And I mean, I love them, but I just,
yeah,
I'm just a Fender guy, you know, Strat guy.
Well, can we hear this Strat?
Yeah, absolutely.
Middle position, is that where you live most times, or
most of the time?
Okay.
For rhythm wise, yeah.
Okay.
And whenever I want some extra, I go down to the home base. That's pretty much a lead tone for me.
Got it.
Yeah. And then I'll step. I got just a little drive.
The Morning Glory, yeah.
Yeah, Morning Glory. That actually, we use that pedal for a bunch of stuff on Tornillo. But yeah, just, I mean, I pretty much basic setup, you know. I got that. I would prefer to just have tuner wah and distortion.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the extent of my knowledge, but you know, get a little EQ boost for the sound guys.
Okay.
And a booster for, I mean, just to make it a little louder. And I always keep that vibe on.
Just thicken it up?
Yeah, just for a little warmth.
Okay. And really, that's in the, I see, yeah, you got the compressor over to the right there.
Yeah, the only thing this is controlling is these three right here.
Okay.
And that just stays on, except for when I'm doing my mandolin stuff.
All right. What should we know about strings?
Tens?
Yeah,
Ernie Ball. Ernie Ball 10s? Yeah.
Ernie Ball 10 Slinkies.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Right down the middle.
I used to play 11s, and then COVID hit, and then my fingers got a little weaker.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, I'll go back down to 10s. I'll live there forever. But, yeah. Okay. About it.
Okay, well, should we get introduced to another guitar?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do it.
So, yeah, this one I play on two of the new songs that have different tunings. I guess one of them not a different tuning, just a capo.
Okay.
They keep it tuned for the capo. But bought this one off of Reverb, actually. I just love the way it looked.
Yeah, I got to know about the pickups, man.
Guitar. Honestly, don't know. This is a custom, like, the...
It says limited edition Fender on the neck plate there.
I can't remember what they call it, honestly, to tell you the truth.
Gold foils, and obviously like a Tron of some sort in the bridge, like a Gretsch style filter Tron.
I mean, I just saw it. I was like, I fell in love with it. It was a two-tone on the back, you know.
So you're using this on Tailspin or Midnight Woman or what? Okay.
Tailspin and Midnight Woman, yes.
Can we hear this? Because it's got to have a unique sound with those pickups. Wow.
Sorry.
Wow.
Yeah, it's righteous.
Can we hear the middle or the neck? Just because they're kind of, they look, I don't even know if they're, yeah. It still has that Strat bounce, but there's some grease to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's some stank.
All of the kind of, I mean, like when we were playing Mud, I used this for that.
You know, okay.
It's like kind of all those really raunchy songs that I could get. Just a little bit extra. This also tuned this drop C sharp or something like
Jeez.
That.
Jeez, so, play some metal with that.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I mean.
So let's meet number three.
Okay.
I know you said you got three total instruments here.
Three, well, I got that mandolin as well.
Okay.
Really.
Yeah, isn't that like an Eastwood little? Yeah.
Yeah. We were trying to figure out how to do Bury My Bones live, and I was like, man, I don't want to just like sit up here with a damn mandolin.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. That's a rocking song, you know. And I was like, sitting up here with like a regular mandolin during like John going over there, just being balls to the wall playing lead at the end. I was like, I need something. And we found that Eastwood. 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 Yeah. So many damn Easts. I want to say East Bay, man. I was a kid.
East Bay, got the shoes. Yeah. Another one is Eastman Guitars.
Eastman Guitars, yeah. That's why I wanted to say Eastman. So this one, actually John found this one. Or he found the the place that I bought it.
Okay.
He was looking at a few guitars, and he was like, man, I think they're going to give us a discount if I buy a bunch of them. Do you see any that you want? And I was like, yeah, I see like three or four of them that I want. So I wound up buying like three guitars, and I think he only bought one. So like, I gave him the damn discount.
Yeah.
Buying more of the guitars. But yeah, I found this one. I liked it because it was, I never played it before. I just bought it off the website. Wound up being playing really, really well. It's got it. I liked it because it was the exact opposite of the Pearl one that I had.
Okay.
Black with the tortoise shell.
Yep.
And, but we put the, what are they, Joe Bonamosa?
Yeah, the 63 Bonamosa.
Okay. The Seymour Duncans, yeah.
Duncans, yeah, yeah.
What do you dig about those?
Man, they're so, they just sound like a 63 Strat.
Let's hear it.
I use this for, it's got a little bit of stank on it, but I use this for time bomb. So. I just love the way it sounds for that song.
Now, was it reliced or kind of checked when you bought it? Is that how it came when the neck was worn already?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So this is, I'm pretty sure this is like a 2015 and around that era. But I thought it's relic, so.
Gotcha.
And I don't think it was a reissue. I think it was just a relic.
That year.
Yeah, that year. So, but then whenever I got it, I was like, man, because I saw those pickups, and I was like, I got to find a guitar to put those pickups in.
Yeah.
And I was like this one all the way. It just feels like a, because I have a 64 that I keep at the house that I don't, I just put it in here, and it plays and sounds like that guitar almost. Not quite as good.
Yeah, yeah, close enough. Yeah. Close enough for hand grenades and horseshoes.
Yeah, close enough for out here.
Now, as a good journalist or whatever the hell you want to call me, I go on the Instagram, see what you got going on there, and I noticed that you're a car guy. So would you say you're more interested in guitars or cars?
That's tough. Guitars have had my heart for longer, so I'm going to still say guitars.
Yeah.
I have more guitars than I have cars.
Which, yeah.
I mean... like some of them are about the same price, honestly.
Yeah, right.
but they're easier to store. Guitars are way easier to store than cars are.
That's true.
And a lot less hectic to keep up with too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you breezed through the pedal board already, but the last part of the recipe is amps. What do we got back in the rack over there?
Yeah, man, I've got just two JCM 800s. One's 50, one's 100, and then we got four custom cabs over here. They're all Weber.
Okay.
Speakers, 12s. Two 12s each.
Are you running both amps at the same time?
No.
Or is it, okay.
No,
kind of depend?
Yeah, depends on the room. And I've mostly run the 50, but.
Breaks up sooner.
Yeah, absolutely.
Compresses, yeah.
And then stuff like this. But if we're playing like something really huge, like a festival, something like that, I might switch over to 100. But I mean, it's just like, you can barely touch that 100 and just massive increase in volume. So
yeah,
really touchy. But yeah, I mean, I love the 50. And I love the Weber speakers coming out here too, man. They do great work.
Now, real quick, I know we got to get out of here. Marshalls, has that been a part of what you do for a long time or what?
Man, I used to play through, honestly, the first really good amp that I had was a Crate Digital. You remember those two?
Yeah.
Crate Digital, the little circle effects and shit like that?
Yeah.
I had that in my room. That's how I practiced and stuff when I was 12. I think that was like my first one on the road too, and it just fell the fuck apart. And then I went to Fender Supersonic that I
okay
for a little bit, and I love that amp. But I mean, like I said, it's just not broke. Like it just so small, and I don't think we had cases back then and shit. So we're just kind of like finding a good place in the trailer to put it, and I finally got cases. But now I switched to Marshall, man. Just I don't know. Like this, it's just screams rock and roll.
Yeah.
Fender, something about a Fender Strat through a Marshall is like Jimmy and like.
It's peanut butter and jelly,
yeah,
man.
I mean, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, real quick, it's like kids don't know what they have nowadays because it's like either we had Crate or Spiders or the little kidney bean that we had, the pod growing up, for tone.
Yeah.
So, like, what's out there for modeling now is just blows that away.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I mean, I, like I said, I love that digital thing. And one of the, I think one of the preamps on it was a Marshall, like, cab from, like, a, like the Jimmy thing.
Yeah.
With the half wah, you know, kind of thing. So I've pretty much played through that the whole time, though. Might as well just get the real thing.
Yeah, right. Well, Cody, thank you so much. I know we got to get out of here for a sound check, but I appreciate you guys. Check out Whiskey Myers' new album coming out in September.
Yeah, thank you.